tell you, friendship, we are the cutest couples, don't we? and I don't think any of that was planned. It just kind of happened. So today we're going to talk about part two. We're going to talk about intimacy. And the fact that in marriage, intimacy is so absolutely essential. It is something that allows two people to literally have a deep connection that outside of your relationship with God is really not even possible. It's a connection that becomes so significant that after marriage, it's something that when that connection is broken or severed or fractured, there can be a significant emptiness that begins to take place within an individual's heart. It becomes something that is so important that when absent can lead to heartache. Because there's a connectivity, there's a closeness that takes place between a husband and a wife that just is unfound in the rest of creation outside of one's relationship with God. It is so unique and so, really, when the Bible says the two become one, that's what it's talking about. They become so interconnected. Have you ever noticed, especially, I love to kind of watch this, but, you know, as couples, they get married, and then you watch them over the years, and it's an amazing thing how couples begin to look like and act like each other over a certain period of time, and it's kind of fun to watch because there's that interconnectivity, there's that intimacy on a level that really cannot be explained. And so I think to be able to really walk through this, to be able to understand this correctly, we need to begin with the understanding that men and women see intimacy differently. And so that's kind of the big idea. Men and women were created to crave intimacy differently. God created you as a man to crave an intimacy. When you get married, there is something inside of you that says, hey, I want to be close to you. I want to know you in a way that really no one else can know you. And there's that craving there. God created, it's a good thing. Ladies, for you, God created you to also crave that intimacy. But it's in a different way than your husband craves that intimacy. And so when those two parts come together, when how women crave intimacy and how men crave intimacy intertwine together, it's something that's just, it's incredible. It's just an amazing thing. And so what I want to do just this morning is just so that we have it kind of all out in the open so we all know where we're coming from here, is I want to spell how both women and men understand desire intimacy, okay? So we're going to start with the women because that's easier. Because, you know, like, I know where you're going with this. So women spell intimacy this way, T-I-M-E, time. Husbands, if you're ever wondering, like, I don't understand why she always wants, I mean, she just wants to, like, be next to me all the time. She wants to talk to me. She wants to know what's going on. She's like, so, how are you? Good. She wants, there's like this thing, she wants to always hang out with me. Guys, that's a good thing. If at any point in time your wife is like, no, I'm good, there's a problem. There's a problem. You've made a mistake somewhere, and you need to correct it. You're like, well, I don't know where. Here's a cue for you. Don't ask her, because she'll say, oh, you know. And it's too late. Just do whatever you need to do to make it right. So, because women love the intimacy of time. That's why whenever you see, like, a movie that's made, designed for women, always involved in some way, shape, or form is a man doing this significant, you know, over-the-top gesture where he makes a meal and there's candlelight and there's romantic music and there's all this stuff and all this preparation that goes into this massive romantic gesture because it's all about time. Here's the key, guys. The reason that time is so important is because time says you value me. You think I matter. And that says to them, oh, I want to connect with you on that level. Men, conversely, spell intimacy S-E-X. Now, I love the fact that some of the wives went, but it's true, okay? Let me just relax, take a deep breath, but it's true. Because as men, we tend to be more physical. We tend to be more like taste, touch, feel. That tends to be more who we are. And so in that intimacy, in those intimate moments, there is a genuineness and a realness that cannot be found outside of that. And so that's why, as men, God created us to crave intimacy in that fashion and in that context. Now, so to really understand it, I like illustrations. I like making things simple. That old phrase, right, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. I like to keep things simple. And so in my mind, whenever I talk about this, I like to put it in an analogy the way that everyone can understand. It's kind of like, intimacy is kind of like making a meal, okay? There's lots of parts, there's lots of different things, and there's lots of ways to make a meal. Guys are built by God very much like microwave meals, okay? You push the number one button, and it starts, and it's done in 60 seconds, and it's a great meal. It's high in sodium. It's not very exciting, you know, it's really a little bland, but hey, it does the job, right? It's over with. Now, guys, I grew up, you know, in college. I went to college, and maybe those of you that are still single, you understand microwave meals. Now, microwave meals, they're okay, but they'll do in a pinch, right? Ladies are crock pots. If you want a different word, slow cooker. Now, if you've ever had a crock pot meal, when it's done, if you've ever had pot roast, you know, cut into dice cubes, put inside of a crock pot with potatoes and onions and carrots and all sorts of, you know, beef bouillon and all, you just put it in there, and then you turn it on, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening, right? You can turn it on high, and you sit there, and nothing. Nothing's going on. Now, you come back 4 hours later, and you've got a meal. It's fantastic. It's wonderful, but it takes all this preparation and all this time. Men are like microwaves, women are like crock pots. Now, here's the thing. In a crock pot meal, and guys, I'm just going to throw this out for you. If you don't understand the analogy, ask your wife later. She'll explain it to you. If you put the wrong ingredients in the crock pot meal, you might as well dump the whole thing out because it will not be ready later. It takes time. Now, here's the thing, and just kind of throwing it out for everyone to understand. Microwave meals are okay every now and then. There's no problem with that. But I tell you, there's nothing like a good crockpot meal for tenderness and moistness and something that just gives you the most enjoyment that you're going to get. And so when husbands and wives understand where each other are coming from, there can be a beautiful connection and a beautiful balance that takes place in marriage. So what I want to do is I want to just give you a few things that you can do to be able to really expand and enhance the intimacy in your marriage. The first one is this: embrace your differences. Embrace your differences. Oftentimes, when we first get married, or when we fall in love, quote unquote, with a person, we love the things that make them different from us, right? How many of you are planners? Really quick, you're planners. You love to plan. Love to plan. How many of you that are planners are married to someone that drives you nuts because they love to be spontaneous? Notice almost all of the people that had their hand raised. Why? Because what you loved about them was how spontaneous they were. I mean, they would come home and be like, hey, you want to go out to eat? I'm like, sure, that sounds great. Let's go out to eat. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's drive around and see what sounds good. Oh, this is so fun. This is so exciting. Fast forward 5 years into marriage. Hey, let's go out to eat. I have been working all afternoon to make this meal. Well, I just think it would be fun to go out to eat. Fine, whatever. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Let's just drive around. What's so amazing is that when you first are attracted to that person, it's the opposite things that light your fire, that you get so excited about. And then what happens is over time, those things start to irritate and agitate. And part of it is because we have begun to view our marriage as a competition instead of a completion. You see, God, when he created men and women, in fact, so much so that God says, I'm going to create someone to complete Adam. We cannot continue to compete with our spouse in marriage and expect it to be good. We must look to complete our spouse in marriage, and then we experience it. And that's when you embrace those differences. You go, man, you are so different from me, but I love the fact that you're so different from me. And then in certain areas, you begin to move towards a middle. The Bible puts it this way. It says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings. Now, this is really important. In his what? Own image. So that tells us that whether you're a man or a woman, you bear the image of God. Therefore, if you bear the image of God, that cannot be wrong. So just because they're differences doesn't mean they're wrong. So you embrace that. Part of what makes your husband is the fact that he bears the image of God. Part of what makes your wife is because she bears the image of God. It is a uniqueness, and it's a difference that you need to embrace. And it says this, in the image of God, he created them. And then it says, male and female, he created them. I want to be really clear on this. God created men and women to connect with one another. That was the purpose and the point of creating the two sexes, male and female. And so when we talk about marriage and we talk about intimacy, that is only found between a relationship of a husband and a wife. That's it. Nothing outside of that will satisfy. Nothing outside of that will give you the joy or the pleasure or the things that God desires for you. Outside of that, when you try to find intimacy, outside of that, often what it does is it brings pain and scars and hurt. It's just like, you know, your kid running around with a knife and you go, put that down. But this is fun. It's going to hurt. Put it down. You see, sometimes we look at how God has laid things out and we think to ourselves, God's being so mean. He's being so harsh. And really what God is doing is going, I want to protect you from a pain I never intended you to experience. So embrace your differences. Secondly, and this is something I think we probably know in theory, but we hardly ever practice. Know that your body is not yours. Know that your body is not yours. The Bible teaches that when you accept Jesus Christ, part of that acceptance of Jesus Christ is surrendering your life to him. And I want to lay that out and put a little bit more flesh on that really quickly with this passage in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 says this, run from sexual sin. I love this because so often we miss this. We miss this little first verse, right? Run from sexual sin. Notice, almost everywhere else through the Bible, when sin shows up, what does God say we're supposed to do? Resist, right? Fight. Stand strong. Don't give in. Plant your feet. When it comes to sexual sin, what does he say? Run. Run. When it approaches, run. Why? Because God knows how he made you. And if you are desperate for intimacy, believing that you can find it outside of a marriage relationship, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fall to it every time. And it's going to end up becoming a pattern in your life. And here's the thing. The Bible teaches very clearly that all sin is the same in the eyes of God, but not all sin affects us the same way. Notice what Paul says. He says, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. You must honor God with your body. Paul says, listen, you need to understand when you accept Jesus Christ, he paid for this being who you are. He paid for how he set you up, and God wants you to experience the unlimited, unrestrained joy and love that comes through a relationship with him. And then he wants that to be connected with those around you. And if God willing allows you to connect in a marriage relationship, he wants you to explore and be able to enjoy that. But Paul makes mention, he says, sexual immorality. What is sexual immorality? How does that fit? How do we define that? What does that look like? Well, the way that we have to do is we've got to go back to the very beginning when God created everything. Because, by the way, God created sex. In fact, God created sex for a husband and wife to enjoy. But he also created boundaries within that. Because outside of that, it can be dangerous. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, it's not on your notes, but you can write it down and look down if you want to. God says this. He says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife, talking about Adam and Eve, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. You see, when you do and you follow God's plan for how he's laid out in this sexual intimacy fashion, there is no shame. There's no fear. There's no resentment. There's no anger. There's no regret. When you do it outside of that, it gives all that stuff and then it scars, because the Bible says that that is something that happens so with inside of yourself, you are literally tearing yourself from the inside out. So the best way, and the way that God says this is how it's supposed to be practiced, is one man, one woman, one lifetime before God with no shame. Now when you think about it that way, and you understand the way God designed it and the way God desires for you to be able to enjoy it, it opens up the reality and the understanding of this is something that can be explored and enjoyed by a husband and wife in ways that just kind of blow your mind. It's like this is an amazing thing that God has given us. To be able to enjoy this type of intimacy on this earth is just something that's an amazing thought. However, when it is practiced outside of God's intended purpose, it can cause all sorts of damage and harm in your life and the lives of those around you. So remember that your body is not yours, it's God's. So when God says, this is how I want you to do it, then you need to respond. Now, I want you to see this, and this is how it ties in. Third thing you need to do is you need to commit your body to making intimacy with your spouse your highest priority. Commit your body, your mind, your soul, to making intimacy with your spouse your highest earthly priority. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, just a few chapters after Paul just talked about what we were just talking about. Your body is not your own. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to use it to honor and glorify God. You're supposed to do all these things. Anything outside of that creates pain inside of you that God does not want you to experience or have. One man, one woman, one lifetime under God with no shame. And he says this, the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife. All the guys are like, yeah, wait. Remember, your wife spells intimacy how? T-I-M-E. Guys, your body and your time is not yours. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you gave it to him and you said, I surrender all to you. Now what God has said is now that you're married, your responsibility, man, is to fulfill your duty to your wife. T-I-M-E. Your responsibility is to spend the time with her that she so desperately desires for you to spend with her. Now, here's the thing. I know some of you ladies may be like, listen, please stop telling him to spend time with me because he drives me nuts. That's probably because something else is wrong. Something else is going on. There are some issues that need to be conversed through, talked through, worked through, planned through. Maybe you need someone else, an outside eyes, an outside ear, to sit down and go, hey, listen, let's talk through this. What's going on? Help you work through those things. Because that's how God set you up. That's how God designed for you to be able to connect in that intimacy level, is that time. It doesn't even have to be conversation, just time. Because time speaks volumes to you. Now notice what Paul continues on. He says, okay, the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Now remember, ladies, your husband spells it differently than you do. And so he wants that physical connection with you. And so for you to be able to honor him as he honors you, and by the way, if you're going, well, he doesn't ever spend any time with me. Okay, You've heard me tell him to spend time with you, right? So now you can go, hey, the Bible says. There you go. Spend time with me. But be careful, because that goes both ways. Because he desires to be with you in that physical way. And the beautiful part is when those two things work together the way that they're supposed to work together, the Bible says that there is an enjoyment. Remember, God said in Genesis chapter 2, there's no shame. There's a connection that's deeper than any other connection on this planet outside of your relationship with God. He continues, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So it's not something that you can demand. It's something that you give. Stop depriving one another, except for by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. There are some marriages, it may be even in this room right now, that are in all sorts of issues and problems because you've not followed God's command that has been laid out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You've been selfish, you've been self-motivated, you've been focusing on yourself, and you've not been doing or fulfilling the duties that you need to as a husband or wife. It undermines and undercuts the relationship that God designed marriage to be. And I know that this isn't like funny, ha-ha. I know that this is difficult. I know that this is one of the biggest reasons that marriages have problems. And that's why I think it's so important that we teach what the Bible actually says. We're supposed to put our spouse before ourselves. We're supposed to, with our body, do whatever is necessary to connect with our spouse in the way that they understand, in the way that they connect. We are to put them first, their priorities above our priorities, their needs above our own needs, so that we can connect with them as God wants us to connect with them. Now, as we wrap this up, I think it's important to just kind of put a little PS on this, okay? Husbands, please listen very, very carefully, because this is important. If you miss this, you'll kind of have missed the whole point of this morning. Husbands, your wife's emotional needs, your wife's emotional needs far outweigh her sexual needs. Your wife's emotional needs far outweigh her sexual needs. The way that your spouse, your wife, wants to connect with you is on a deep emotional level. Now, I know those of you that know me know that I'm super duper emotional. Cry all the time, can't really think straight. Every decision I make is emotional based. No, not really at all. But if I don't understand that Tracy is really first and foremost an emotional being, and realize that understanding and taking care of her emotional needs matter more than just about anything else, I am not fulfilling the role that I need to as a husband. Guys, you don't have to be an emotional basket case. You don't have to walk around, you know, with, I don't even know what to say here, but you don't have to act like a girl, okay, to connect and help with your wife's emotional needs. And honestly, something I have learned and I've tried to convey to as many men as possible, because to me, it's kind of like it's the key to everything. Sometimes all you have to do is listen. Be a shoulder to cry on and go, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. Here's the thing you shouldn't do. Big flashing lights. Don't try to fix it. You're like, but I can. I know. I'm with you. These things are not hard for us to fix, are they, guys? Okay. I'm in trouble now. Okay. But we want to fix it. But remember, whatever's going on pales in comparison to the emotions that she's feeling about what's going on. Before you can start to address the issue, you must understand, respect, and hear her emotional needs. It's absolutely essential. That's part of the slow cooker. That's part of the process. It makes her feel safe. It makes her feel protected. It makes her feel loved. And it makes her feel connected to you. Ladies, wives, your husband's masculinity, is directly connected to his sexuality. Your husband's masculinity is directly connected to his sexuality. If you don't believe that's true, all you got to do is listen to individuals who talk about things that have happened in their life that have made it to where that is no longer a possibility for them and their guys. They feel as if they are no longer men. They feel as if they have lost something of who they are. They feel like they cannot be the type of guy that they used to be. The whole expression of being virile, right? Being tough has been torn away unexpectedly. And so for whatever reason, I don't know why God did it. Honestly, I truly don't. That may be one of the first questions I sit down with God and go, okay, can you help me understand this? Because this really is no fun sometimes. But the reality is your husband's masculinity, his connection to his manness is directly connected to his sexuality. And when you get married and that door is opened and that intimacy happens, that bond actually grows stronger. And so you as a wife need to understand that. It's not just about whatever. There's a connection there that he desires to have with you that makes him feel and experience more of who God created him to be. I know that this is not a topic. You're probably like, I did not expect this morning. But the reality is it's so important. And I want to tell you, I just, if you are not married, I want to just challenge you from the deepest recesses of my heart and from the heart of God. God has this for you at some point in time. Now is not that time. And if you are engaging in it outside of the marriage relationship, I just want to tell you, you are putting yourself in such a dangerous and precarious position because that happens with inside your heart and your soul and your spirit, and it can scar you from this point to the rest of your life. Can God redeem it? Absolutely. God can redeem and change anything. Can God restore it? You go, well, we've been divorced. How do we do this? Man, can God restore? Absolutely, God can restore that. Can God create a beautiful marriage out of a marriage that right now you feel sucks? Absolutely, God can do that. There is nothing beyond God's ability to restore and redeem. Nothing. But I would say what God says to you. Why go through that if you don't have to? Why allow that pain in your life if it's not necessary? If you're married, my challenge to you is this, as it's going to be throughout this whole series, is that you make a big commitment this morning to your spouse. On the bottom of your notes on your worship guide there in your connection thing at the bottom, whatever that is, I can't remember the name of it, card, there we go, connection card, is this. My big commitment to my spouse is I'm making intimacy with you my highest earthly priority. I am making intimacy with you my highest earthly priority. To your spouse, to your husband, to your wife. By the way, you shouldn't say that to anybody else. Anybody else. Because that's not how God intended it. But if you are married, or when you get married, make that commitment with you. Say, honey, no matter what, my highest earthly priority is to make intimacy with you how you see it and how you receive it. And when you do that, there's a connection that goes beyond anything on this earth. The only thing that comes close, the only thing that surpasses that, is your connection with God. Father, we thank you so much for creating us in your image, and that as a part of your image that you have given us this idea of intimacy, that God, that we can experience something with our spouse that is similar, although it certainly pales in comparison, but it's similar to what we have in our experience with you. God, I just pray this morning that all over this room, the husbands and the wives, the spouses would take a deep breath. That God, we would stop talking about what we want. Oh, I want this, and I expect this, and this is what I... God, and we would just start going, what has God called me to do and to be for my spouse? What is my role in this relationship? How can I help my husband or my wife experience more of that intimacy with me? God, I pray that all over this room this morning, the husbands and wives would be just in their spirits bowing before you and going, yes, God, I want a marriage that experiences this in ways that I can't even begin to explain. That expresses my love for my spouse and a connection that is beyond anything this earth can offer. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray that marriages are healed, marriages are restored, and God, the marriages that are yet to come are prepared as they understand the way that you intended it to be. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.